Well, hey, folks, this is Chris. I want you to make a plan for your money and learn what the Bible has to say about money when you order Financial Peace University with a copy of the Legacy Journey ebook by Dave Ramsey. And get this incredible deal for only $99 when you use the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces at stewardship.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Our whole team here at Ramsey Solutions want to welcome you from Music City, right here in Tennessee. You call in 866-357-3283. Again, 866-357-3283. Call in with your questions about stewardship, whether it's money or relationships or leadership, you name it. Of course, how we define stewardship here at Ramsey Solutions is managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory. You can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That email address again, chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And, you know, speaking of stewardship.com, that is the website where anything that we talk about on this broadcast lives. It's everything from articles to past episodes to links to our books for our guests that are on here. You name it. Everything's on there. Of course, all of our resources that we talk about on this show. So that's all there. And right now on stewardship.com, we're offering Financial Peace University and the Legacy Journey from Dave Ramsey together for only $99 when you use the code Chris Brown with no spaces. So make sure you take advantage of that, this limited time deal at stewardship.com today. Again, the number is 866-357-3283. And our first call is on the line, calling in from Dayton, Ohio. This is Melissa. Hey, Melissa, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
I'm great. My husband and I just had a quick question. We have four children, ages 10, 8, 5, and 9 months, and we have saved just over $13,000 between the four of them for college. And we're just kind of curious if we should, for the older two, put it in like an ESA or a 529, or switch it for the youngest two, kind of how we're going to gain the most money before they reach college age is kind of what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Where's the best way?
Where's the money now, Melissa?
Right now, we just have it in our savings accounts under our names.
Okay. And is that what it's been all along? It's been in a savings account?
Yes. We've put it in a savings account since the day they were born. And we just save every single week we put money into it.
Okay. And do you guys have any debt currently?
Yes. We have about $52,000 and we should be done with it in about a year and a half.
And what is that debt?
Most of it's car, student loan, and a little bit of credit card.
And what's your income?
About $93,000 a year.
Okay. All right. Okay. So yes, you'd want to put it in an ESA of 529 before you would put it in a savings account. However, so that's your quick answer on what you called for. But if I pull up a little bit and look at your whole financial situation, what I would do for you and your husband to kind of sit down and talk about is I would apply that money towards the debt. I would get out of debt first. And then I know that's going to be frustrating for you because you've all this time you've been putting it towards something that you thought it was going towards, and you totally can, you know, still put it towards the college if you want to. But your biggest win is going to be get out of that debt as fast as possible. But that 529, the reason why you want to put it in the 529 or you want to put it in the ESA is because it grows tax free. So if you were to do that, especially for your younger two, if you were to do that, let's just say for 16 years. In an ESA, you do $2,000 a year. You're looking at $32,000 invested. Research shows, and the historical average has been that will be over $100,000 come college time, which is really good news. And you get all $100,000. That's what's so great about it. It's not taxed at the end of it. So that's why you want to do that, because you've been saving for a long time, and that you've probably put about $12,000 in that savings account, and it's grown to $13,000. Maybe put 12,
right.
Probably put 12.8 in there, 12.9 in there, and you've
right.
only got $100 in interest. So that's why you want to make that conversion. But I would encourage you to, you know, one of the best things you can do for your children is to make sure that you're in a great financial position when they go to college. And maybe then, because you're not paying any payments, you can contribute to college if you want to. So just to look at it a different way.
So the ESA would be the way to, for our younger two. Would the 529 be smarter for our older two then?
Well, the both of them are better for the younger you go, because you want that time, you know, the time of compound interest. The older ones, you still have time to do it. If you know, if your child was a junior in high school, it wouldn't be worth it, you know. But you said your oldest was what, 10?
Yes.
Yeah. So you're looking at what is that? 7 years.
9 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I would do it. I think for me, the threshold is less than 7 years is savings account. More than 7 years is invest, because you want to make sure that the time and the gains are going to be worth the fees. And so you're right on that bubble. So it's up to you on how liquid you want to keep that money. But I think I probably would do it.
And the ESA would probably be one of the way you would go.
Yeah, well, my wife and I, we do the ESA, but of course I'd want you to meet with one of our ELPs, our endorsed local providers.
Right.
They'll coach you through both of those, the pros and cons to a 529 or the pro. They both have pros and cons. Depends on, you know, what you're looking for, but they both are the best instruments when it comes to college funding.
Okay, great.
All right. Well, hopefully that helps you, Melissa.
It does. Thank you so much for your help.
All right. Thank you. This next call comes in from Denver, Colorado. This is Michael. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
So I am going through a updated budgeting process, which is a little bit frustrating. I'm financially in a position. We live a fairly simple life. The only debt that we have is the payment on our house. Mm-hmm. And we're in a house that is somewhat more expensive than I was really comfortable with, but, you know, through a rather long story, God put us there and made it very clear that this is where we're supposed to be. Part of the issue that I'm facing is this house has a basement area that needs to be fixed up. You know, it's our vision is to use it as a ministry opportunity. We've already had to turn down some ability to have folks come and stay with us because we don't have the basement ready. From a budgeting perspective, I really look at, you know, the savings, long-term savings, you know, emergency, retirement, all of that, but I can't fit it in to my new budget. And so I'm wondering if there are, you know, ever areas where you would consider, you know, moments of life that some of those things should be put aside for more pressing, or if you think that it's better to, you know, delay kind of what you feel God's vision is in order to either wait for him to provide in ways that are a more comfort level. And I'm trying to make this succinct, but it's kind of hard to be succinct here with all of this.
Yeah, well, Michael, I totally get it. I think most of our listeners have been in this scenario in some shape or form before, where you just really wanted to do more than you had resources for, and you really feel like, in the uniqueness of your call, is you really feel like God's calling you to do this. So whatever it may be, and for you it's a renovation, and for someone else it could be something else. I think I really deep down believe in my core being that many times that shortage is a huge opportunity for us to have to rely on God, to have to, we don't have the answers and we've got to be patient. We've got to be like, oh, this is a moment where I want to do this. I don't see it. It's those Abraham moments. It's like, go take the land. You're like, what? What are you talking about? Where am I going? Those moments that we see all throughout the scriptures where people were told to do something or they felt led to do something, they had no idea what it looked like. And so if this has been kind of planted in your spirit to do this, but you have no idea how you're going to get there, that might be the point that you need to rely on God. And so I would encourage all of our listeners to not immediately lose sleep over trying to find the earthly answer, but to kind of sit back and be like, okay, God, All right, that I agree. I would love to do this as well. I'm in, and I need you to provide. And I think you spend 30 days in prayer, or maybe it's 60 days in prayer. You get a prayer group together, and you leverage this not being able to see, this leverage this time of being blind for God to renew your sight and to give you sight in this area. The other option, from an earthly perspective, that's the first thing I see, Michael. The second thing I would see is, if you want to do something that's not fit in the budget, then you've got to obviously bring in some more income. The third thing I see is that you very well could have too much house. You said that you do. So if that's the case, you either need to downsize, or you said that you feel like you're called to that house. And whenever someone says that, it's hard to argue with that. I don't know how to argue that God said something to you or didn't say something to you. Or you've got to increase your income so that the percentage of your mortgage payments or the percentage of that cost for the house goes down to a reasonable percentage below 25% of your household take-home income.
Right.
So,
yeah. And I guess that's part of my struggle is because, if you look at percentage-wise, my percentage actually is really good on the house.
Good.
But my comfort level is, you save for long term, you make extra principal payments, all of these things that lead to financial freedom. And I'm now in an area, it's like I can't do all of those things that I feel are the right way to manage a income and still put in the money to the house of getting this apartment area ready to go for, missionaries to come stay and that type of thing. So that's why I start to question, am I in a season in life where I need to put aside, and I'm not saying go into debt, but put aside my view of this is the right way to manage an income long term and just jump full feet into, okay, every extra dime I have goes into doing what I think God's called me. Or is that really departing from our biblical stewardship and it needs to be God's put these comfort levels and here's what you do to steward properly. Now wait for the extra money so that I can continue to be comfortable.
Yeah, I think when definitely a wrestle. I think since you're post-consumer debt conversation here, and we're talking about do I stop retirement for a season to invest into a current investment and then go back to the long-term investment is really kind of what you're saying. And it kind of hold off on any extra saving above the emergency fund. And here's the filter. The filter is you've got to ask yourself, which one do you value more? You've got to make sure you make these decisions based on your values. So if your values are to make sure that you're not a burden to the next generation, or your values are, I wanted to make sure I hit this number at retirement on this particular age. And you know what? Now I can't retire at 58. Now I've got to retire at 62 because of the decision. Then you've got to weigh that out, whether you're okay with that. And if you're okay with that, then that's fine. We're not talking about a sin thing. It's not like you're not a good steward anymore. Once you're, post the disobedience of having debt, and you don't have that anymore. Now you're talking about just wisdom. You're making sure that Proverbs 21:20, that you get that emergency fund going. That, the house of the wise is choice food and oil. And then you're talking about retirement. You might want to slow that down a little bit if you want to do this renovation, if you really feel like that lines up with your values. But what we teach here is if you want to make sure that you leave a legacy to the next generation and you do that well, that those are the steps that you take. Now, this is for everybody, Michael, not just for you. This is for everybody. I think it's important for us to realize that we're all faced with these situations, and it looks different with all of us. Let's say we have a little $10,000 window or a $4,000 window in our finances, and then many of us, and I'm not saying this about you, Michael, but this is a good place to put it in here, we immediately fill that $4,000 window, that margin. We fill it with something, and a lot of times it's good things. And I think we need to remember one passage that sticks out in my mind. It's 1 John 3:17. It says, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?" And I think, your situation is a little different because you actually want to do the renovation to do what this verse says. But for those listening in, I think you need to think through, like, every time that we have a little bit of margin, immediately we go to fill it. We go to use that money towards something. And I think there's a lot of wisdom in making sure that we keep a little bit of margin. And so I don't know if there's a way that you can do the renovation, do half of a renovation, kind of cut a little bit there, and maybe don't cut retirement altogether, but for a season, you kind of just, kind of meet in the middle. But I definitely would want you to go back to the full retirement strategy as soon as possible.
All right. I appreciate it.
Yeah, whatever you do, just don't go backwards and do not put that renovation into debt. Don't use debt.
No, yeah, that won't happen.
Okay, awesome. Well, we appreciate the call, Michael. All right. Well, you've heard a few calls today where the money, or the lack of, is holding great people back from living the life that they've always wanted. Have you been able to relate to some of these calls? If you need a plan to get your finances rocking, then Financial Peace University is that class for you. Financial Peace University has helped over 4 million people change their future by learning how to manage their money God's way through some very, very practical steps. And right now, for a limited time, when you order Financial Peace University, you'll also get the Legacy Journey ebook by Dave Ramsey. Our prayer is that this will help you get started and teaching you exactly what the Bible says about building wealth and about giving. And right now, we have hundreds of classes starting all across the country, and we want you to participate in the action. Just visit stewardship.com, use the promo code Chris Brown with no spaces, and get this amazing deal for only $99. Again, that promo code is Chris Brown with no spaces, and you will receive Financial Peace University and the Legacy Journey ebook for only $99. If you didn't get all that, don't worry. You can find out all the details at stewardship.com.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's right. You can email us at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com or call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Got an email here from Mike. He says, "Dear Chris and team, I first want to applaud you on such a great ministry. The value you guys add to the kingdom is astounding." Very kind. Thank you. "I recently became a believer at the amazingly coincidental age of 33. That's pretty cool that you recognize that. That's pretty cool. "I was already on a pretty tight budget before believing. After my rebirth, I knew I needed to give back to the Creator a portion of what He has provided. As you say, better to trust Him with 90% than trust myself with 100%. My question is, what advice do you have for somebody already on a pretty tight budget and now adding tithing into the mix? My thoughts and prayers are with your whole team as you continue to encourage those who were not so smart with God's resources." And then you can lump me in that category as well. I definitely had not so brilliant seasons in my life for sure. I think the way I want to answer this, Mike, is going back to a great passage of scripture. Malachi 3:10 says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house." And here's what I want you to really key in on. "And try me now in this." Another version says, "And test me." The only place in the scriptures where it says to test me. "And test me in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be enough room enough to receive it." We've got to ask ourselves, do we want that promise? Do we want to engage in that? Because if I'm reading this email, Mike, you said pretty tight, already on a pretty tight budget. Pretty tight tells me that this is not an impossible thing. You've got a decision to make. You could make this tithe happen. You've got to put this a priority over whatever it is that's kind of kicking it out. You got to do giving first, saving second, spend third. You know, our calendars and our wallets are a window to our soul. And we can easily measure the level of our trust in God as a provider based on whether or not we put Him first or not. And so my prayer for you, Mike, and my prayer for all of you listening is that we would put Him first. It's no different than our earthly relationships. you know, you've got a relationship, and I say that I love my wife and she's amazing. And from an earthly perspective, she is my number one priority. But if I don't put her first with my actions, then what I say doesn't really matter. And so it's no different than our earthly relationships. My wife is either first in my life, from an earthly perspective, or she's not. And so you just got to ask yourself, how close to God do I want to be? We got to remember, tithing is for us, not something God wants from us. He doesn't need our money. He's got plenty. And if he needed our money, if he wanted it, he could just beat us up and take it. Thank God he doesn't have that that personality. That's not what he wants to do. But he could. He has the ability. So it is for us, not something he wants from us. We got another call all lined up. This is Vince, and he's calling in from San Antonio. Vince, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing very, very well. How can I help you today?
Well, I'm 55 years old. I just retired from the federal government, and I have $460,000 that I want to roll over. Well, I wanted to roll it over into mutual funds. So I spoke to a financial advisor, and he said that that was fine, but he also recommended an annuity. Well, the way he explained it, in 10 years, I can start drawing money from it and all this. And it sounds good, but I don't know. I feel kind of, I'm not too comfortable doing it because I really don't know too much about annuities.
Yes. Never invest in something that you don't understand. Don't ever invest in something that you don't feel comfortable with. And so I'm so glad that you called, Vince. First of all, congratulations with $460,000. That's a big deal. Good job.
Thank you. Yeah, and then our house is paid for.
Way to go.
We're practically debt-free, except for we have two vehicles that we're going to finish paying next year.
All right. Well, let's get out of debt. You're in a great spot, man. Let's get rid of that debt on a vehicle that's depreciating. That's nuts, especially someone who's been winning with finances. So let's get out of that. But here's the deal. What I'd love to know is what that gentleman's commission rate is on that annuity, because that's just definitely not what you want to do. Was it a certain kind of annuity that you're talking about?
Yeah, it's Alliance 222.
Okay. Well, here's the deal. I don't recommend an annuity except in very, very rare circumstances. People who have built a level of wealth and are 100% debt-free, house and everything. There's two types of annuities. There's a fixed and a variable. Fixed annuities, I never recommend, and this is an example of a fixed annuity. So no, 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 no.
Okay.
And the reason why is because a fixed annuity has a very low interest rate, a very low return, like 2 to 3%. Not good. 3% on a very good day. So it's basically a savings account with an insurance company. First of all, you don't want to ever invest in an insurance company. That's just not a good idea. Insurance is insurance. Investing is investing. But it comes, with a lot of fees. It's like kind of putting money into a CD, which is not a good idea either. You definitely don't want to do that. Now, the other type, so we can all learn together here, is a variable annuity that I only recommend for folks if they've maxed out all their other options. That we talk about on the show, 401k, a Roth, mutual funds, and they're 100% debt-free, including their house. It's an annuity. What it is it's wrapped up around a mutual fund. It keeps the mutual fund from being taxed as it grows, but you pay an extra fee to the annuity company in addition to the mutual fund fees. So you get kind of double dipped on the fees. So they're kind of expensive, but it allows the money to grow tax-free and has a few other features to it. But 401k is a much better deal. A Roth IRA is a much better deal as well. And you don't have to pay that double dip fees to get it. And of course, I made a little remark there about the commission. I'm not questioning the motives of your particular investment professional, but just reading between the lines, that's where I think this came from, because it really doesn't make any sense for you to pull out of mutual funds and get 3%, 2 or 3%. So folks, that's why I feel very comfortable about us talking about our ELPs. I want you to get the right guidance, and I just really feel like this is not the right guidance. Vince, I'd love to encourage you to check out our ELPs at stewardship.com. They're our endorsed local providers, and they teach exactly what we teach, and they can help you with that rollover for sure. Well, folks, visit stewardship.com today to order Financial Peace University with the Legacy Journey ebook from Dave Ramsey for only $99 when you use the code Chris Brown with no spaces. And folks, we'd love to hear your story. Give us a call at 866-357-3283. Of course, you can email us as well at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. And until next time, let's continue to manage God's blessings God's way for God's glory.